Well, good morning, everyone. This is John Alls, and I want to welcome you back to the Independence Baptist Church Sunday morning radio broadcast. Now, for the last two Sundays, Pastor Reynolds has been sharing a message titled Every Good Gift. Now, this Sunday, we'll be covering the remaining portions of that message, but we want to take just a minute to recap the last few weeks. Now, the text that Pastor Reynolds started with was in James chapter 1, verse 17, and that verse reads, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Now, during week one, Pastor Reynolds shared with us a few of the troubles and trials that he had went through in his life, and he explained how that God was with him during those times. God used those times to help him grow in the Lord. And he also pointed out how that during those times is when he really came to appreciate all of the good things that the Lord had done for him. And during the second week, we talked about the troubles and trials that Joseph went through before the Lord made him second in command of Egypt. You know, and one thought that was brought out was that, you know, when Joseph was thrown into the pit, he didn't know he was going to be the second in command. When he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, he didn't know he was going to be second in command. When he was thrown into prison and when he was forgotten after having been told that he'd be rewarded, he didn't know he was going to be second in command of Egypt. But that's where he was heading. And it goes to show that although we may not be able to see the end result, we may go through troubles and trials, but God is still in control. And he may just be helping us prepare for some great work that he has for us. This week, we'll listen in as Pastor Reynolds finishes up a few points about Joseph's story, and then a few closing scriptures and thoughts about every good gift.
Genesis chapter 50. His brothers were afraid that after Jacob died, their dad died, that Joseph would then attack his brothers and kill them, because they were the ones that sold him into Egypt and put him through all that misery. But look here what Joseph said. I'm talking about that great gift that God gives. In verse 18, "And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we be thy servants. Don't kill us. Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God?" Now notice what Joseph said here in verse 20, and this is the way it is. "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." Who would have thought? Who would have thought when Joseph was 17 years old and his brothers sold him into slavery, put him in that pit, that the guy they were selling was going to redeem them and give the whole nation of Israel life? Those boys, those men, Joseph's brothers, they hated Joseph and put him in that pit and sold him. Joseph had no children, but those people did. You read and get that genealogy right, you'll see they had children. And the one they put in that pit would not only save their lives, save their sons' lives, also would save their grandchildren's lives, because there was 70 souls that went down into Egypt. God meant it unto good. Of course, when they came out, there's a couple million of them, 600,000, just men. So God meant it unto good. You see, there it is. If we just obey the Lord. See, the end of it all is better than we could ever imagine. But notice the book of Deuteronomy. I just want you to understand the things you go through is better than you could ever, ever even imagine. Just obey the Lord. I've preached here in this church almost to the point that I think I'm ashamed to say it anymore. But I think I will, because it's still the truth. Do you know that at Independence Baptist Church, the only thing we've got to do is what God tells us? That's just so simple. I'm glad it's that way. God knows we've got one-track minds. He makes it simple. Just do what I'm telling you. That's it. Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 1. We'll read down through verse 9. And I've got a couple of things to mention here, and we'll close. Deuteronomy 29, verse 1. "These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, Ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh, and unto all his servants, unto all his land." He said, now, understand here, they're coming down to the end of Moses' life. The 40 years is over. 40 years wandering is over. And Moses said, you remember? You remember what happened in Egypt? You remember that 40 years ago? Remember that? Remember it. Verse 3. The great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles. Remember those? Remember, you think about all those that's happened. What I would tell our church, I would tell you, you look back in your life and you see how God has blessed you, how God has blessed our church. You just look back and you just see it. And remember the blessings of God. Here he's going to list it. Verse 4. He's going to list them out. Yet the Lord has not given you an heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. I've led you 40 years in the wilderness. Understand these blessings. Your clothes have not waxen old upon you. Isn't that something? A 40-year-old shirt was still brand new. Thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy foot. A 40-year-old shoe, not kept in the closet, but worn every day, is not worn out. And they were not walking on just sidewalks or carpet. They were walking in all kinds of stuff. And God kept those shoes from wearing out. You have not eaten bread, nor have you drunk wine, nor strong drink, that you might know that I am the Lord your God. See that? See in verse 6? All those things you went through, and God is blessed. And here's the reason. God has blessed you because I want you, God says, I want you to know that I'm your God. I want you to know that. I want you to know that. He says there in verse 4, the Lord has not given you the heart yet to perceive it, but I'm giving it to you now. I want you to get it now. Verse 7, when you come into this place, Shihon, the king of Heshbon, here he's remembering battles that they fought. And Og, the son of the king of Bashan, came out against us to battle. We smote them. We took their land. We gave it for an inheritance unto the Reubenites, unto the Gadites, the half tribe of Manasseh. Then he says this in verse 9. This is the verse I want you to get. He says this, keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. You need to find out what God wants you to do and do it. You'll have prosperity. Say, really? I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about the gift of God. And that's greater than money. The peace that only God can give. That's greater than money. 1 Peter chapter 4. One last passage here. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. Look what it says. Beloved, and Peter's writing here to saints of God. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Don't think it's strange. It's a fiery trial. That's tough. But here it says in verse 13, and this ties back in with James chapter 1, rejoice when you fall into diverse temptations. He said, don't think it's strange when you fall into these fiery trials, but rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. It says rejoice. When you go through, why? Why should I rejoice? When I'm going through all these troubles and trials and tribulations and all that kind of stuff, I don't want to go through it. I don't want heartache. I don't want sickness. I don't want disease. I don't want lack of money. I don't want hard economy. He says rejoice. Why? Because God's got something better. And He's teaching us our reliance upon Him. And the gift that God gives us through all that is much better than anything we could ever devise or even think about. Let me tell you about another trial. One more trial, one more tribulation that nobody here has gone through. But if the Lord tarries, everybody here will go through. And that's death. Isn't that a hard thing to think about? Say, yeah, preacher, I don't want to think about death. I want to think about life and hope and health and doing things and energizing. I want to think about serving the Lord. And I don't want to think about death. The Bible talks about death as if it's a valley. You know, Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley, that's a low place. Death is a low place. Let me tell you something. Death is a low place for a believer. It's not a mountaintop experience. The Bible says, yea, though I walk through the valley, It's a low place. Because this old body's not made to die. It's made to live. It's a low place. So I don't think I can be happy about that. What's on the other side? For the believer, what's on the other side? We're going to wake in His likeness, in His image. Isn't it amazing how that we shy away from being made in the image and the likeness of God in this life and also in death, same thing? Because right now in this life, we're meant to live. That's why that is. We're meant to live. But there'll come a day of submission. There'll come a day when God will put in our heart, God will put in our minds, yes, I'm going to be submissive to the Lord, going through this trial, going through this valley. The time's not yet. Is it? It's not for me, I don't think. Maybe this afternoon, but not right now. I'll go through that valley. But on the other side, there's an unspeakable gift of eternal life. It's going to be greater than anything I could ever imagine. What's heaven going to be like? You ever try to think about what heaven's going to be like? It's not floating on a cloud playing the harp. You seen those pictures of the pearly gates? And St. Peter standing there with a roll book, you know, and a little, you got a little lectern standing there and he's checking off the name. Is that the way it is? Hey, listen, if you're reading the Bible, there's 12 gates, not one. And there's no lectern standing there. And St. Peter is not standing there. And he does not have his roll book. The roll book is at the great white throne judgment at the judgment seat, not the pearly gates. What's heaven going to be like? I don't know. But I do know this. It's going to be better than anything I can imagine. I know that. Are you ready? Are you ready to go? I got my tickets. Well, I'm going to say God bought them for me. Got my name on it. And I have a home in heaven reserved, waiting for me. There's a mansion there. Jesus said in John 14, there are already many mansions. I'm going to prepare a place for you. That where I am, there you may be with me. That's where I'm going. I'm not going to live down here always, but I'm ready to go. Are you ready? Are you saved? Are you lost? Are you a believer? Listen, when it comes right down to it, and you listen carefully, you're going to die all by yourself. We love you, and if I can, I'll be there. I trust that you're there when I die. But we'll all die alone. But where are you going to be? Where are you going to spend eternity? Are you ready to be with Him? Are you ready? Or just that soon after you die, are you going to wake up in the flames of hell? Hell is as real as heaven. You know it's so. There may be somebody in the sound of my voice going to wind up in hell. Is it going to be you? Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. That's what He says. And that's so real. Trust the Lord is our prayer, our plea for you. Just trust the Lord. Believe in Him. He's your Savior, the everlasting one. Nobody can save you but Jesus. Trust Him is our prayer for you.
Well, we pray that these messages about every good gift have been a blessing to you. We encourage you to not only listen to the broadcast each week, but if you're physically able to do so, we'd love for you to come join us for Sunday and Wednesday services. Our Sunday services will be starting this morning at 10 a.m. with Sunday school, worship services at 11 a.m. We'll have an afternoon prayer service at 4 p.m. and afternoon worship services at 4:30. We'll also have our weekly Bible study at 7 on Wednesday night. You can find our building at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri. If you'd like more information about Independence Baptist Church, you can log on to our website at www.independencebaptist.org. From the website, you'll be able to read about our church and our beliefs, and you'll also find many articles, books, and audio messages that you can download for free. You can also call and leave us a message at 636-673-2180. Well, I do see that our time for today is up, but we would like to remind you to tune in again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message from God's Holy Word.